All right, ladies, buckle up.
It's showtime. It's showtime.
It's showtime.
It's showtime.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another special episode of Matinee Talk. We're going to be talking It Chapter 2 in our 32nd episode. I am one of your hosts, Johnny Lightfoot, with me as always,
Julian Owens.
All right, with that, let's get started with the box office. What we got, Julian?
So, opening this weekend was It Chapter 2, bringing up $91 million to its opening weekend. I can't find its budget, overall budget, but right now its opening weekend is $91 million, which is really good for It Chapter 2. Coming in at number 2 is Angel Has Fallen with only $5.9 million, bringing its domestic total up to $53 million. Good Boys is number 3 with $5.4 million, bringing its domestic total up to $66 million. Then we have Lion King, who is still trucking along. Number 4 with $4.3 million, bringing its domestic total up to $529 million. And last but not least, we have Hobbs and Shaw. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw with $3.8 million, bringing its domestic to $164 million.
Sweet. So, with our first little bit of news at this year's Venice Film Festival, Todd Phillips' Joker won the Golden Lion for Best Picture, which I felt was kind of odd because it's kind of a comic book movie, and Venice is one of those, like, pretentious. Uppity yep. film festivals. So, the fact that Joker got some love at that kind of festival is pretty unique.
And what's interesting to me is also looking at Joker and looking at its festival run at the moment, a lot of people have been saying this is a great adaptation. Many are calling this almost a masterpiece as close to The Dark Knight with Jared Leto's portrayal as Joker, which is pretty interesting with a lot of the early buzz for Joker. I know the movie doesn't come out for another 4 weeks, I want to say 3 or 4 weeks, but for it to get the Golden Lion from Venice, and supposed to Heard is getting also a TIFF treatment as well.
It is playing at TIFF. I've heard rumors its U.S. premiere is going to be next week at Fantastic Fest.
It's supposed to be at Fantastic Fest. So Johnny might be able to get to see what it looks like on Fantastic Fest, but as of this moment, everything looks really good for Joker. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to hear your initial reactions for Joker. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But with another streaming of news, we have a reboot that is coming in the works with Paramount. Face Off will be getting a reboot. Paramount is going to be trying to do it with the guy who did 22 Jump Street, Warren Uziel, I want to say his name is. Correct me if I'm wrong. We'll be penning the script. Basically, the guy who created the Fast and Furious franchise for Universal is coming in and doing this one. I don't believe anybody's been cast yet. There's no talks of who's going to be cast, who's going to be the director, or anything like that. And, of course, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about our guilty pleasure action movies. This yep. was one of Johnny's. So it's pretty interesting to see that, not even 20-some years later, they're deciding to make a reboot. It's going to be interesting.
With that being said, let's move on to the main topic. So, special episodes, we only do these for a few movies, and this week we're doing one for It Chapter 2. Initial reactions.
It didn't fall to my expectations, I will say that. But with that being said, it was still a way better landing than the part 2 from the TV special from 20 years ago, in my opinion. The acting was phenomenal, and one thing that I will say about this, when you have a young cast and an adult cast, you could actually believe that the adult cast was like the kids that we grew up with in the first part, and they do such a phenomenal job, especially James McAvoy, Jessica Chastain, and Bill Hader. Initial thoughts, I enjoyed it, not as great as the first one, but it was really good, really good.
Yeah, I mean, same, I gave it 3 on Letterboxd. I felt the performances were really good from Bill Hader, and I can't think of the guy who plays Eddie. I thought those two were the standouts for me, along with Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise. I did feel like while his acting was good, I don't think the Bill character, James McAvoy, I don't think that character was in the same movie as everybody else.
He wasn't. He,
like, I was like, is he playing like a character from his Split personality? Like, because during the whole film, it's like he's often doing his own thing, and
mm-hmm.
he does not seem to be in the same place. And then the other, in terms of acting, which was good when it was there, was, I can't think of his name, but the guy from the Old Spice who played Mike.
Oh, Isaiah Mustafa.
But he, you know, they just didn't, same thing with Chapter One, Mike just doesn't get much love, but I understand that kind of, because in the books, he's like the lone wolf of the Losers Club. But he's like the last one to join, and he's also the only one that stuck around.
But with that being said, what I again, I've only skimmed through the book. I haven't really read the book. But from what I can tell from the big points in the film, in the book, was Mike was a huge component to bringing the Losers Club back. And yes, they kind of give him that kind of like role in this film. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like it was like, hey, I'm just gonna be the like surrogate leader, but we still think Bill, James McAvoy's character, is kind of the guy, the leader, and they kind of just hand the keys off to James. It's like, well, so Mike is saying, hey, this is what's gonna happen, and then Bill is like, yeah, guys, we need to go do this, and they all do what he's doing, you know?
Well, and I'll save it for spoilers, because there's a few things with that dynamic that they did differently in the film, and I think it actually helped the Mike character. But I'll save that for spoilers.
Okay.
I did feel overall, though, too long. The movie's yes. too long.
Yes.
And I can't help but feel like it would have benefited from actually being separated into three. And I know that sounds crazy, but separate into three so you can flesh out some of the stuff in there, because they go into detail on some things that weren't even mentioned in the first one with the Native Americans and the ritual mm-hmm. of Chud and all that stuff. And it's like they felt like they had to put it in there to honor the book, because the first one was so faithful to the novel that they were like, if we're going to maintain that ability to be faithful, we need to keep those things in there. But in doing so, you just added a lot, but didn't really get to explain any of it, and so it just felt choppy.
So we're going to talk about that in the spoiler part, because I agree, and I feel like there's certain, specifically in the first, I want to say about hour of the movie, they run around too long trying to grab everybody together, and it just doesn't work. And there's some CGI parts that I don't know if you agree with me that just mm-hmm. didn't look well, which we'll talk about in the spoiler part, because this, again, plays a part with what happens with the adults. It looked off, is what mm-hmm. I would say. And that complex with just starting very slow. And yeah. then with the ending, it picked up very quickly.
Yeah, the ending, it went real, like the last like 30 minutes, like went really quickly. I didn't mind the slow parts in the beginning. It's really the second act, once they're all looking for their tokens, where it really plotted, because it was essentially just switching from one to the next, where they're basically doing the same thing. It's like, okay, now it's so-and-so's turn to go get their token. Now it's so-and-so's turn to go get their token.
And it's basically going back and revamping or recapping what they had going on, which some of them had some interesting moments. Others, you're just like, okay, you're regurgitating everything that's happened, and it was kind of like you could have cut some of that out,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, they wanted to make all of them feel like they were important, so I agree with that, but could have cut that up. And, I mean, the only other thing is, like I said, Bill Hader steals the entire show in this movie. Like, Bill Hader does a phenomenal job. And then, like I said, Jessica Chastain, James McAvoy, and I keep forgetting the guy who plays as Ben's character. I forgot his name.
Jay Ryan.
Yeah. Jay does a phenomenal job as well, but he gets overshadowed by everybody else who I just mentioned, and Bill Skarsgård, and it's just, I don't know, I feel like with most of your ensemble cast like this, somebody's always going to get cut somewhere, or they're not going to get as much shine as everybody else. But other than that, like, the chemistry was still good with everybody. I have my gripes. We'll talk about it in the spoiler talk.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing too is I think they relied way too much on trying to do jump scares in this one.
Yes.
And it got away what made the first one really successful, which I didn't feel like the first It was very scary, but I just felt like it was a well-done film. This one, it tried too hard to do those jump scares and be scary, and a lot of them just didn't hold a lot of weight.
Yeah.
I will say that the ones that did work, you mainly see a big portions of those in the trailer, which is disappointing because those did work, and I did see a lot of people in the theater around me like cringing and getting scared in those moments, but it's like you kind of knew those were coming, so kind of a hindrance there. How did you feel about the score?
The score wasn't bad. It wasn't great either. What I mean by that is, like, it feels like they did a good job with the score, but it felt too, I don't know. I guess I was looking for something a little bit different because it just almost, I hate to say it, it's almost a copy and paste of the first one with just a little bit different symphonies and certain parts of their character logs here and there. But I don't know. I guess for me, if you were going to do that, you could have just made it a whole miniseries and mm-hmm. put it on Netflix or somewhere like that. But for you to make it seem like it was going to be two completely, not completely different movies, but put it into two movies and don't really change anything about the score as much, I wasn't mad about it, but also at the same time, I was like, I was looking for something a little bit more different, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I do think that visually it's really well shot.
Yes.
It looks great. All of the scenes in the caves and back in the house, they all look good.
One scene in particular, one shot that I really enjoyed, we'll talk about this as a spoiler talk, is when Bill is going to go try to find a kid, and mm-hmm. they're going in the funhouse. That whole scene, that whole shot of them going into the funhouse was absolutely amazing. I love that scene, but we'll talk about that in a moment.
With speaking of spoilers, you got anything else you want to?
In terms of that, no. I already talked about pacing, talked about score. No, I think that's everything. If you want to jump into spoilers, let's do it.
Jump in.
So, back to what I was just saying. One of the very great shots for me was like when Bill is running into the funhouse because he finds out that Pennywise is going to kill the kid who basically lives in his old house now. So he's running inside, you know, if you go into any carnival, you know, when the little silver cylinder thing that you got to walk in through is rotating and Bill is trying to run and tumble over it, the camera pans, I mean not pans, but it tilts, it flips upside down, rotates to like 180. And it makes it really look like, hey, he's about to go deep into hell right now and have some fun. And I love that shot. That was one of the ones I was just like, wow, this was a really good shot. I can't believe I didn't think that would fit in, but that fit in really well. The lighting in that whole scene right before the kid gets killed in front of Bill was just really well done as well. And that was one of the ones where I was like, okay, this is the signs of, hey, we're going back to the original It that we just saw 2 years ago. But yeah, that was one of my favorite scenes in the film. But and then one thing I was going to ask you about too. I didn't read I skimmed through the book. Did Richie die like that in the book?
You mean Eddie?
Eddie, Eddie.
No, yes. he did die at the climax, but he did not die by getting stabbed,
impaled by
Pennywise. No, he got his arm bitten off by the giant spider.
Okay.
But speaking of the climax, so the whole thing with Bill and Mike and all that, so that is part of the book is Mike is the guy that sticks around and he's the only one who remembers and he gathers them all, but he's also the first one to be like, yeah, Big Bill, what do we do, Big Bill? Like, basically everyone looks at Bill as the leader. In the book also, Mike gets severely injured by Henry Bowers.
Okay.
And so he's not even in the final fight with Pennywise. He's in the hospital.
He stabs Eddie in the mouth. And then basically, what's his face? Richie is the one who kills him with a, was it like a sickle, I want to say? It looked like a sickle. I don't know what it was. But he killed him in the hand. And I was like, wow. So that was one thing I was going to say, critique on that. Bowers literally, I mean, I hate to say it, didn't really do much in this film. And whereas I heard that in the book, he does way more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, he literally was here for maybe two or three jump scares and then didn't do anything.
Yeah, in the book, the adult Henry is a big deal. So is Beverly's abusive husband and Bill's wife. Both, so Beverly's abusive husband is actually trying to, like, hunt her down. So he, like, goes to Derry to try to find her. And, like, he's an awful person. And then on top of that, I think her name's Audrey. Bill's wife, there's supposed to be a big thing with the fact that she looks like Beverly. And she goes there to find Bill as well. And they both end up in the caves in the finale.
Hmm. Okay.
So that's just some more stuff that was kind of left out. But again, like I said, it, like, I have the Audible and it's 45 hours. So, like, it is it's over 1,000-page book. So that's why I say you could have split it up more and fleshed it out. And I would be excited to see if they put the two chapters together.
Make, like, a super
then,
cut?
But then cut it properly to where, like, the adults and the kids' timeline start out at the same point at the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. And you're just cutting through the whole thing. I think the pacing would probably be better because basically you would have more time with the kids, but then every now and then you would cut to them as adults and throughout the whole film.
Isn't that, I was going to say,
that's how the book is.
I was about to say, I don't know if this is actually true, correct me if I'm wrong, but rumor has it that that's what they're going to do in the movie, I mean, the DVD release when this comes out in 4 or 5 months from now, is that they're going to make a super cut of the entire films together.
Where the kids and the adults both start at the beginning of the movie and it just cuts between, because you should have more time with the kids in total, but it's supposed to mirror one another. So basically, at the end of the film, towards the end, you get the finale with the kids and then you cut back to them as adults. And then
doing the exact same thing. Now, speaking on to the kids, what I was talking about with the CGI part, which kind of bothered me. Yes, the de-aging was bad, especially for Finn Wolfhard. Like, literally, you can tell that wasn't his voice that was talking. Like, that was some ADR. They're trying to do some digital effects to make him sound like he's younger. And his face just looks so different. Ben's face looks like they literally...
He looks like he grew, like, 6 or 7 inches.
I was just about to say, he grew 6 or 7 inches, and he's... You could tell when he's running from Pennywise in the school that he's feeling in his body. He's not the big kid anymore. Like, he's feeling into his body. And you see them trying to keep him that, like, I guess that chubby kid now. And it's like, I can see that. And so I was sitting there when they're in the first part, when they're going to grab Stanley's token. And they're all in that little house. And I'm just sitting there, wow. Okay, the CGI is bad here. Like, real bad. But that was one of my biggest issues. Well, it was one of my biggest, like, glaring issues of the movie. I couldn't get past the de-aging special effects that they put on there.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder if they're using some of the same people who worked on Superman's mustache, because it is Warner Brothers. So I'm wondering if they just have, like, poor talent over there at WB when it comes to, like, remote, like, not like the big special effects, like the creatures and stuff, but it's the people who have to do the little things that they're just not very good at it.
And it's crazy to me, in a year where we saw Captain Marvel de-age Sam almost 20 years, you couldn't de-age kids literally from 2 years in Warner Brothers. That's saying a lot. That's saying quite a lot. But we're not going to harp on how bad the CGI is. But that's just one of the things that just was really glaring for me. One thing also, speaking of Stanley, I know he kills himself in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Does he kill himself the exact same way in
yeah,
the movie?
He cuts his wrist in the bathtub.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure. But other than that, one of my other thing is I, like I said, haven't read the book, so I'm also asking in fillers. Mike's character.
Mm-hmm.
Does everything that they're trying to do, retrieve their tokens and stuff like that, all that happens in the book as well, correct? Okay. Is Richie gay?
They basically hint at the fact that, yeah, Richie and Eddie had, like, they have like a thing.
Which I feel like, I guess, and this is one of my biggest things with movies like this, and I'm going to continue saying this, and I hope some executive is listening to this. One of my biggest problems with films like these is like, hey, we want to entertain the idea or play with the idea that our character is gay, but we don't want to make it as apparent. That happened in Power Rangers 2 years ago. That happened in this movie. This happened in, like, Bohemian Rhapsody of all movies. Like, literally, we have an entire character who has been openly gay, but we have him basically playing with the idea if he's gay or not the entire movie in Bohemian Rhapsody, which is completely blasphemous to me. But I just feel like we're in a day and age where it's okay to just be flat out saying, like, hey, our character is gay. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, oh, another thing, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom cut out in an entire sequence where the girl who knows how to find a dinosaur's blood, I won't harp on that movie anymore. She basically, when Chris Pratt does something like sexual, she was like, oh, well, if I was only straight, say this. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand why we're still at this point where we just can't show representation in movies anymore, but it's dumb to me. I just want an exec to just be like, hey, we're just going to flat out say it and call it a day. Because, like you said, they prelude to that Eddie and Richie had a thing together, and that's why Richie was so hurt when Eddie passed and when died in the cave. And I'm just like, look, if this happened in the books, just let it happen. Like, it, you don't.
Well, that's the thing, is it doesn't.
It doesn't?
It doesn't. Okay. It's hinted at. And the thing that happens in the beginning of the Chapter 2 film with the two guys and the hate crime.
Yeah.
That I didn't read into it a lot, but I did hear that online there are people who are upset about it. Not necessarily because of what happened, but because of who it happened to. But that was a big part in the book, was the fact that to show that, and to his point, Stephen King was ahead of his time in this, is that there are people out there who do these type of hate crimes to, you know, people who are gay, and that's not cool. And Stephen King, again, was ahead of his time in that, like, this kind of stuff happens.
Right, and that's why I was like, I wasn't mad about it. And what I mean by that, and I guess this is coming from a privileged standpoint, it was interesting to see, because, it, like you said, I'm sitting here wondering, you know, in 2016, 2019, this crap is still happening, you know? And for Stephen King to even put that in his book, what, 30 years ago, is saying a lot. And for that to still be a thing 30 years later.
So, to put it in perspective, in the original It book, the kids portion takes place in, like, the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah, 50s, 60s.
And the adult portion takes place in the 80s. And so he wrote it to where in the 80s, you know, gay people are having hate crimes against them. What's crazy to me is the movie, it's the kids in the 80s and the adults in today, and that still holds true.
Yes. And that's 30, why
30 years later.
That's why when they did exact what happened in the festival, when they, you know, I don't know what bullies they were, but did that to the gay couple, I was just like, wow, it sucks that even in 2019, even though this takes place in 2016, this exactly happens. And it showed, like, how the evilness of what's still endearing has an effect on the people around it. And that's what I really enjoyed about the movie, is just showing you that even humanity's evil nature still comes out and runs in this movie. And one thing I also liked, well, two scenes that I really liked. I already talked about the one with Bill seeing the kid get killed in the funhouse. The other one was with the girl coming out of the stands and literally was just waiting on, you know, Pennywise, and was just like, you know, we're weird, we're friends, and I have this mark on my face because of something happened. And he was like, I'll blow it away. And, you know, she's like, you have to say three, and boom, gets her and kills her. Like, like, Bill Skarsgård, again, does a phenomenal job of showing how creepy and how menacing he could be. It was just, I don't know. Bill Skarsgård, I hate to say it, he is my all-time Pennywise character. Like, all-time. Enjoyable, watchable. He brings a very ominous evil's presence to Pennywise, and I enjoyed his entire way through these first two. I mean, not these first two, but these both movies, and I enjoyed watching him every step of the way.
No, I agree. His performance has been spot on, and in any time in a scene, they give him basically the close-up. They give him just, he's getting all the lines. Same thing, even when he had that scene where he got to show a little bit of his face with the makeup and everything,
yeah,
where it was kind of like a flashback. Like, that was an awesome scene. And I think, based on like that and some of the other stuff that happens in the house with the old lady, which everybody sees in the trailer, I can't help but think we're going to get some prequels. And I assume, and they've already had questions to Bill Skarsgård, and he said, if I could play Pennywise for as long as I can, he would be fine. So I wouldn't be surprised if they start doing some Pennywise movies that take place in the times they, you know, mention, whether it be like the Easter, the one year where all the kids got killed in the Easter fire and all that stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some Pennywise spinoff movies.
And then also, speaking of Pennywise and his entity and himself, what bothered me, I guess one thing that I have a question about is, how did you feel about the ending of the movie compared to the ending of the book?
I mean, I felt it was fine, the little montage thing, but
yeah.
I understand you got to wrap it up. You're already at over 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Wait, before we go to that, I mean more towards how they killed Pennywise.
Oh, I mean, that's pretty close to the book.
Even though a lot of my friends who read the book kind of got mad about the whole, like, the turtle wasn't, like...
Oh, yeah, you can't do the turtle.
Okay.
The intergalactic turtle, you can't do that. It would throw too many people off. And then the other thing is, you know, saying it's a demon, but it's also a demon from space. And, oh, by the way, it's also a girl, like...
That was too much supernatural stuff in it. Okay.
Because, yeah, you would have had to try to explain, oh, yeah, by the way, Pennywise is a girl. By the way, Pennywise is a demon that's from space, and the Deadlights, and, like, there's...
And onto that notion, I guess for me also, I was going to ask you about that. One thing that didn't derail the movie for me, but it kind of, like, almost lost its hinges just a little bit, was the fact that we were watching this, and, you know, you're talking about the Deadlights, you're talking about Pennywise, you're talking about him being an entity that the Native Americans did a ritual to try to save him and stuff. I mean, not save him, but seal him off and stuff like that. And I just felt like they were trying to throw so much supernatural stuff in too much time, and I felt like you should have been teasing that throughout the first, I mean, not keep saying the first two films. You should have teased that throughout both films to get us an idea of who he is. Yes, I get, well, I don't know if they consider him a he in this film, but, you know, it's weird to me that, you know, you give us the first movie, which, like I said, is a Stranger Things with clowns. You don't explain much, but, hey, Pennywise is this entity that's killing kids and killing people in Derry. And then all of a sudden in Chapter 2, you're like, okay, now because we've really made a big success, let's just start throwing all the supernatural stuff at the wall and hope the audience catches all of that at the same time. And it was a little jarring for me by the time we get to the climax, because I'm thinking, yeah, we see the big spider, we see his spider form in the film, but what bothered me was if you're a typical audience member, you probably would have got lost with all of them, like with Mike trying to explain all this, you know? And I don't know, maybe I feel like you should have, like I said, you should have just aired it out a little bit more instead of trying to crush it in and see what you
Well, do and it. I mean, there's a ton of more stuff in there, like the ritual of Chet, like when they were kids, they all had sex together.
Yeah.
And then as an adult, like, and it's supposed to involve like biting your tongue and like all this stuff, and they kind of showed like Bill, like when he woke up from going into wherever he went, when he woke up, like his mouth was all bloody, like he was biting his tongue when he went into that other realm and he was supposed to like see the turtle and all that stuff. So there's just a lot there. It's such a dense source material that there's no way you could have gone in and done it all in two movies. And the other thing with, like, the choppy writing and, like, not integrating that stuff, the first It was based off of a script done by Cary Fukunaga, who was originally going to do the It movies. People might know him from True Detective.
Yeah.
So it was probably a lot more polished story-wise, because that guy is that's an amazing writer there. So.
Okay. All right. That's fair. So I'm not too caught up on it, but I guess for me, it was just a little head scratcher. And like you were saying towards the ending, I mean, you had to find a way to, like, wrap it all up. It was, I don't know, it just felt like a typical, hey, all life is good, you know, we have this one last hurrah, we're all together saying one thing together, you know. It wasn't bad, but it was just, okay, we're pandering now. Can we end it? Can we wrap it up, please?
Right.
I will say this, though, I like the whole Stephen King, like, meta commentary that happens in the movie. I like the commentary where they're like, yeah, the ending sucks, and then Stephen King is talking to Bill, who's the writer in the movie, and it's like a full 360. He's like, you got enough for it, pay $300 for your old bike, and he's like, oh, you read my work, you like it, the ending sucks. It's like, all right, Stephen, like, make fun of your old crap, all right, whatever. But I don't know, I enjoyed the little meta commentary that they threw in the movie. It was pretty dope. It's pretty cool.
No, it's really good. I'm looking forward to some more Stephen King later this year.
Speaking of which, I know we're not going to do our top five Stephen King movies yet. Adaptations. What do you think of the new Dr. Sleep trailer?
I dig it. I hope it. I'm pretty sure. I'm 99% sure it's going to be the secret screening at Fantastic Fest.
I hope it is for you.
Because the way the Draft House has been doing their
marketing. Yeah.
So basically the way they've been doing it, if you've gone to any screenings at the Draft House, they've shown the trailer for Knives Out, and then they'll show the trailer for Dr. Sleep, and then they'll show the trailer for Parasite.
Three back to back. That's what they did in my screening.
Knives Out and Parasite have already been announced as screening for Fantastic Fest. Dr. Sleep has not. I was talking to a buddy, and I was like, what are the chances we get Joker and Dr. Sleep? And he was like, we get both. And I was like, which one will be announced? Which one will be the secret screening? Joker would not be a secret screening because it would trigger people, because a lot of people at this festival specifically do not want to see mainstream movies. So they get triggered because that's the thing, is you can avoid it if you know what the film is, but secret screening, you don't know what you're seeing.
You don't know what you're seeing. So onto that notion, I guess for me, it'll be pretty interesting to see if that is, because that's what exactly happened in my screening last night when I went to go watch It Chapter 2. They showed Parasite in the very beginning, then they showed Knives Out, and then right before It Chapter 2 started, they played Dr. Sleep. Now, real quick, and then we could wrap it up with what talking about It Chapter 2. I was very annoyed that basically we got Birds of Prey 30-second promotional stuff right before It Chapter 2 came out. Because I'm sitting here thinking, when the balloon is coming up, I'm like, oh
yeah, okay, they cool. did that on purpose. I knew that was happening because I had heard about the rumors from like it playing in like Russia or something. And then so as soon as the balloons were playing and then you hear the
DC, yeah.
And then you see the DC.
I was like, wait, no, don't tell me. No, we're going to do this. And then literally saw Margot Robbie. I'm like, God damn it. We're getting Birds of Prey in February. Cool. Didn't need to see this in front of It Chapter 2, but thanks, WB.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Warner Brothers. I really appreciate that. But before we head out, anything else you wanted to say about It Chapter 2?
No, that's it. I mean, I think it'll be more enjoyable if when they do that super cut, because I think it'll just give a lot more breathing room if you get to cut back more to what happened in the first one in between that stuff with the adults, because the stuff with the adults is, it's more like learning about who Pennywise is. Right. But I think if you get like stretches where you get breathing room of going on the adventure with the kids, then when they come back to like the boring stuff, learning about who it is, then it's not as like dense.
Not as dense as it was in this one. And I agree. And that's why I can't wait to see if they actually going to do a supercut with this. I hope they do. The only thing is I'll just have to like cringe a little bit with the de-aging special effects and the ADR from most of the kids' voices. But I mean, yeah, I enjoyed it. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. It was really good. I mean, it was good, but as you can tell, I have my gripes about it. But with that, I think we're out tonight.
Sounds good.
And, well, where can the kids find you, Johnny?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Johnny the Wonder and on Letterboxd at Johnny Boy Wonder.
And you can find me at King Julian Owens. We'll be back in 2 weeks, I guess. We won't know what we're talking about, but we'll find out in 2 weeks. Thank you for joining us, guys. We'll see you guys next time.
Later.